This morning we're looking at the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 32. And as you look at all of these verses, you'll see that they are the entire chapter of the 15th chapter of Luke. And you're probably thinking, we'll get to eat lunch out today. The time he gets through 32 verses, all the Methodists and Presbyterians will have eaten and gone home. But I can assure you that I do have a clock. Well, it stopped. Well, no, I do have a timepiece, and I will use it. This morning, I want us to consider what I believe the true message of these verses are, and that is the answer of Jesus to undeserved criticism. Undeserved criticism answered by our Lord Jesus. It has been said, in sarcasm, of course, that no good deed goes unpunished. And the reason this seems funny to us is because it states a great deal of truth. Many times our efforts to be nice have brought us angry denunciations for interfering in other people's lives or taking something on ourselves. As the modern statement is, we've all been there and done that. I think it's certainly true of Jesus Christ that he often was misunderstood. We know that he was unjustly accused and many times criticized when he did things for other people. So these verses of Scripture this morning will teach us that Jesus, on occasions, not every time, but on occasions, he did answer his critics. As we look at verse 1 of chapter 15, you'll see that Jesus did an extraordinary thing. That Jesus allowed religious and social outcasts to approach him. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. And Jesus had said such interesting and important things about the kingdom of God. And he had answered the traditions of the Pharisees and the lawyers, that these people did not come near to Jesus in order to ask for bread. They did not come near him with their diseases. But here the Bible tells us that the publicans and sinners came near to Jesus to hear him. You can see that things are changing. Jesus has been in ministry for a number of months now, and people were beginning to trust him. They've listened to him, and they have been encouraged by what he has said. They have been thrilled by what he has revealed to them. That is, the people who had ears to hear. These people who were religious and social outcasts were publicans. That is, a tax agent for a country that held Israel in occupation. And these people had a tremendous opportunity to cheat and to lie, to charge extravagantly for taxes, take some off the top from themselves, and turn the rest into the Roman Empire. Most of them took advantage of this opportunity, and they did cheat and overcharge and manipulate. And so as a publican and as a fellow Jew, they were thought more of as traitors, liars, and cheats. And then there were the sinners. It's a common expression, a word we understand. We usually apply it in the way that all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and that's absolutely true. Every person who's ever lived on this earth, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this was used to describe people who had broken the traditions of the elders. Not necessarily the Ten Commandments, or that they had not been faithful in bringing offerings or gathering for the holidays or special holy days as they were at that time. These are people who had been thrown out of the synagogue, excommunicated from the synagogue, turned out, if you please, because they had been seen not washing their hands, not observing some tradition that the Pharisees, Sadducees, and lawyers had imposed upon them. And so they did not enjoy the fellowship and the equal treatment of those who were religious leaders and in civil authority. So in just about every sense of the word, they were social and religious outcasts. And because they drew near unto Jesus, that is, the publicans and sinners, in verse 2, the Bible tells us the Pharisees and scribes murmured. There's a little information here that I want to pass on to you. It isn't that they whispered a couple of sentences to one another while these sinners and publicans drew near and listened to Jesus as he taught. They kept on doing it. They didn't just turn to one of their companions and say something. They kept on while Jesus taught these publicans and sinners. They kept on whispering. And the accusation they made, what a horrible, horrible thing Jesus had done. He received and ate with these people. It means that he accepted these folk at face value. It means that he entertained them as a host. That is, he was hospitable to them. He did not speak angrily to them. He did not condemn them and rebuke them. He did not tell them, if you will straighten up your life, then I will teach you. He taught them as they were. And it was not mean-spirited as he did it. He received them as a host, and he ate with them. And this angered the Pharisees, and they criticized him and whispered while he taught, obviously trying to negate what he was doing and draw attention away from what he was teaching. Now, in these three parables that we're looking at this morning, Jesus explains to the Pharisees his actions. He literally answers the criticism that has been offered to him in verses 1 and 2. So I want us to look at these parables for the reason they were spoken, and they are intensely interesting and perhaps more emotionally laden than any other parables that we will read in the Word of God. The first one has to do with the Good Shepherd. It has to do with the shepherd who has 100 sheep. And one of them is lost. And he leaves the 99 in the wilderness, and he goes after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And Jesus made an application of this all too familiar scene. Jesus said, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Well, there are two main characters in this parable, and the lost sheep represents the publicans and sinners. And the fact that God is filled with joy when men and women who have done wrong repent of their sins and come back into His presence. You'll see the words rejoicing and the word repentance. These people who have come to Jesus have expressed by their actions and no doubt by their words as they listen to Jesus and have dialogue with Him, Jesus realizes that these are repentant people. And Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, you should be happy. And you should be filled with joy to see these people coming to me and pressing around me and wanting to hear what I have to say. That's parable number one. The word rejoice means to be pleased and to express one's pleasure. And then there's the parable of the lost coins. Here's a woman who has 10 pieces of silver. She loses one piece, and she lights a candle and sweeps the house and seeks diligently till she finds it. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Again, this lost coin represents these penitent and questioning and interested publicans and sinners. And Jesus said in verse 10, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And He's pleading with the Pharisees and saying, why aren't you like God? Why aren't you rejoicing? Why aren't you pleased and happy that these people whom you have judged and misjudged, and these people that you have known for a lifetime, now you do not speak to them because you think it would in some way soil your holiness. You see this publican coming down the street, and he may be your uncle or someone you went to school with, etc. You cross the street because you don't want to see him. Now he's here in my presence and he's repenting and I'm talking to him and he's talking to me and we're making things right with God, and you people are angry and pouty. You should be rejoicing. And then Jesus intensified His illustration by speaking another parable. Not only does He intensify, but He also condemns the attitude of the Pharisees. Now, the first part of this parable is very familiar. It is probably the most familiar parable in all the world. It even transcends those who are Christians. It goes beyond mere biblical information and has crossed over into literature. No man or woman can read this without seeing his or himself in it. It is probably one of the most powerful illustrations that has ever been spoken by any man anywhere. The reason is because it involves two sons and a father. And by using these two sons, Jesus intends to make two very strong points. Verse 11 begins, "A certain man had two sons." Up until this point, there's been a parable about a sheep. There's been a parable about money. And sheep and money are important to these people. But now the emotional involvement has been lifted and elevated from a sheep and a woman's financial reserves to two sons. In verse 12, the Bible tells us that the prodigal son is the younger son. Now, we don't know how many children this man had, but we know that he had a younger and an elder. And this parable sets these two men in juxtaposition of one another in order to illustrate a truth that Jesus knows that not only do the publicans and sinners need to hear, but a truth that these Pharisees need to hear. Since these are in the same family, these are not Jews and Gentiles, these are all Jewish people who live in the same neighborhood, who speak the same language and incidentally worship the same God and have attended the same school. These are not strangers. They're in the same family. Ethnic background, if you please. There's just something about the oldest son and the younger son, especially in Israel, where there are such expectations from them. But a tragic story is told. The younger of these two sons said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son, and just make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Oh, that every prodigal son would do what this prodigal son did. Oh, that every father and mother might rejoice to see the son who has done what this prodigal did, this youngest son did, to waste his substance in riotous living, to fall into such hunger and want, and then to come to his right senses, to do what's right. It was a reason to be merry. It was right to rejoice. But the parable doesn't end there. It has within this most beautiful ending, it has something unhealthy. There is a fly in the ointment. There is an attitude that is repugnant. And it comes from the elder son. In verse 25, the Bible tells us that he was in the field. Here's a man who is faithful and dutiful, working, doing what he should. And he's unaware that his brother has returned. And the Bible tells us that as he approached the house, he heard music. People were dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. In that moment, he thought of his faithful service to his father. He thought of the duty that he had stood by in order to do what was right. And suddenly all of the hot hours that he had spent in the field, and all the dreams that he had of traveling to another country, and all the times that he perhaps had resented having to stay in the very presence of his own family and do the things that his religion taught him to do, this sort of exploded. And this man, when the servant told him what was happening, and he was angry, and he would not go in. That is, he would not go into the house, would not participate in this merrymaking, in this rejoicing. And he said to his father, as his father came out and pleaded with him, Father, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time your commandments, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now Jesus is showing these people to whom he has taught that, or to whom he is teaching, you Pharisees are like this prodigal son. The sinners and publicans, they're the prodigal son, and they did and have done things they shouldn't do, but here they are back in my presence asking questions, being taught. They've repented. They've admitted their faults and failures, and here they stand now in my presence to be taught more about the things of God. But you're like the prodigal. When you see us together and me extending hospitality to them and not rebuking them in the way that you think I should, then you've pouted and criticized. And then he spoke this second part of the parable about the elder son. And his father explained his actions. In verse 31, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. You people have been here all along. You've been involved in the temple services. You've been involved in the synagogue services. You've done what you should. And everything I've got is available to you. I haven't robbed you of anything that was due you. I haven't taken anything from you. He said it was just necessary. It was fitting, literally, that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead. Obviously a figure of speech. He didn't mean he had literally died. He just simply means we didn't know whether he was alive or whether he was dead. We hadn't heard from him in a long, long time. And then one day he just walked up the road. He came home. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. So it is fitting that we should be merry. So Jesus answered his critics by speaking these parables and explaining to them how they should have had a different attitude and been glad to have seen these people in his presence, repentant and listening to him teach. The principles that we should learn are these. Number one, that there are people in this world who need to repent. And that from time to time, all of us need to repent. This is not talking about initial faith and initial salvation, although it certainly teaches how we should come to God as lost sinners. There are many people out in our area, away from God, out of church, struggling with bad habits, and even suffering under the chastening hand of God. And if these people demonstrate repentance, as the prodigal son demonstrated his repentance, we should rejoice with heaven and welcome them to the Father's house. We should not pout and criticize as the elder brother did. However, we should live as he had been living, faithful and dutiful. But when people who have, quote, let us down, when people by their lifestyle have angered us, when people by their actions have brought tears to our eyes, and we have lost sleep and spent money, when they demonstrate the attitude of this prodigal son, then let us not have the bad attitude of the elder brother.